Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashland Dave, and I'm recording live from my podcast studio in Ashland, Virginia. Thanks for coming along.
It rubs the lotion on its skin. It does this whenever it's told.
Mister, my family will pay cash. Whatever ransom you're asking for, they'll pay it.
It rubs the lotion on its skin, or else it gets the hose again.
Yes, you will, precious. You will get the hose.
Okay. See, my mom is a real important woman. I guess you already know that.
Now it places the lotion in the basket.
Yeah, and that's Ted Levine in Silence of the Lambs, that came out in 1991. Excellent movie, really creepy. And I'm going to tell you here in a minute why I had that at the beginning of the show. My wife and I we did meet a guy that looked just like this guy. Kind of a cross between him and Jim Morrison. And I'll talk about that here in a little bit in the show. This is Ashland Dave, and this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast, episode 215. It is the week of November 5th, 2015. I'd like to thank you for coming along. Thanks for downloading the show, and thanks for coming back. If you're a returning listener, appreciate it. If you're a new listener, this is a podcast mainly about running and also some other observations I make about life in general. As a ordinary middle-of-the-pack runner, sometimes back of the pack, and I usually come up with a number of things to talk about in the podcast. This week, I've got a whole stack of stuff, and I've actually had to bring in a hand truck to bring in all my stuff. So I'm looking across the room here and looking at all the stuff I got for the podcast for today, and it's quite a bit. Only a couple things actually have to do with running, but I like to tie things in, and I figure out ways to do that. So this one's called Humble Pie, and Humble Pie, I think, is usually best served cold. When I get to the email bag section of the show, I'm going to share a piece of humble pie that I got served, and I'm not too proud to admit it. I was wrong about a listener that I talked about in the last show, so I will eat the humble pie, and I've already asked for forgiveness, and I think it's all good at this point. So we're going to talk a little bit about a TV that caught on fire. We're going to talk about Sandy and Eric that met up with me in the center of the universe with me and Monica, my wife, and we had a great night visiting and catching up. We're going to talk about beer and some Rusty Beaver, and we'll talk about another podcast that I listen to called Ultra Finishers that I wanted to recommend. Also talk about a book and my new idea about phoning a friend. For the next time I'm in an ultra, I'm looking at my notes here. I'm not really sure what I meant by that. Maybe it'll come back to me. We'll talk about some roadkill. We'll talk about Buffalo Bill, Jim Morrison. And we'll fit some other stuff in there. Oh, Marathon Maniacs. And so that's all in this episode of the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast, episode 215. And if you're a new listener, I think this is a pretty good episode to kind of get a feel for what I do in the podcast. And I will say this, if you are a new listener, because in the email bag section of the show, I am going to welcome two new listeners that wrote in. One being a very unique situation, somebody that I met many, many years ago on a college road trip. And so I'll get to that. That is just a crazy, crazy story. I'm not going to tell the whole story, but just how people can reconnect and this kind of thing. And be friends, and you know, you can have friends in different parts of the country, and that's one thing this podcast has allowed me to have, is I've known people lots of different places now, and that's pretty cool when you're a marathon runner, because you like to do marathons in different places. So let's get on with the show. This is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. The reason it's called Center of the Universe is that I'm coming at you from Ashland, Virginia, Central Virginia. Ashland is situated between Richmond, Virginia, and Washington, D.C., and we used to have a mayor here who affectionately called Ashland the center of the universe, and that's why the nickname stuck, and that's why everybody calls Ashland the center of the universe. It's the only incorporated town in the Richmond metropolitan area. There's about 7,000 people that live here. It's within Hanover County, and the reason it's kind of different is because an incorporated town in Virginia is somewhat unique. You have like little villages or regions, but to actually have an incorporated small town It's kind of neat, and this is the only one in the Richmond metro area, so it's kind of unique in that aspect. I want to talk about, first I want to talk about my training, and the reason that's important is because that's why the show came out so soon after the last show, is because I'm highly motivated right now. And matter of fact, I've had, I had like 2 weeks of almost mania, just running and getting all kinds of stuff done at work and at home. My wife might differ with that about the home stuff, but I do get a lot of stuff done around here, and so I'm kind of ready to crash. And actually, today was kind of a little bit of a crash day, but I mean, I don't think I'm mentally ill or anything like that. I don't think it's that bad, you know. But I did recognize the fact that I was just kind of really up, so I took advantage of that for my training, and I've had a good solid 4 weeks at 25 miles, and I'm feeling really good. I'm feeling kind of strong. I'm feeling. When I get out there and do the midweek stuff and even the long runs on the weekends, because I've started doing the double runs on the weekends. I'm not going to call it the double long run sandwich yet because I'm not really doing a real long run on Sunday. It's not up to double digits yet, but it will be. And in case you're a new listener, I am training for the Mississippi Trail 50, which is March 5th down in the area of Laurel, Mississippi, near Hattiesburg. And I'll be visiting a family member who invited me down to do that. And that's March 5th of 2016, and so I'm totally focused on that right now. Even though I'm doing the Richmond Half Marathon on November 14th, that's really just kind of a little bit of a sideshow compared to what I'm really focused on. And I don't even get nervous about that kind of stuff because that's just a practice or a training run. So I'm ready to. This week I'm moving up, and I'm gonna start building at 30 because I have to get up to. I have to do a couple miles at 50 plus miles, at least 50. I got to do that at least. 2 to 3 times during the month of late January and then stop at mid-February. Otherwise, I'm never going to get to the starting line ready. I mean, it's going to be hard anyway, but this is going to sound really crazy. I mean, and this whole podcast, you know, I produce this from the perspective of my ability level, so I don't ever think I've got anything special going on, but I just like to run really far, and I like to share that with other people, and you know, people listen to the podcast and write into ashlanddave@gmail.com, and I get to talk to other people. And I've lost my train of thought here. Oh, when I did my when I did the 50 miler back in November, I was ready for that race, and I sucked it up and did those 50 plus mile weeks, and I was ready for that, and I got my time goal. So. I got to do that for this one, even though it's going to be a little different surface. I think there's some creeks and stuff, but it's a large loop course, so I'll be able to, you know, have access. It's not like you're hiking out for running out and doing like an adventure run where, you know, you don't see anybody. This is, you know, the Mississippi. It's Mississippi. It's really, you know, how far can you get? There's no mountains there. So really excited about that, and so it's very important for me to get this base mileage really, really strong, and I'm feeling good. And I'm about ready for some new shoes, which I broke the news to my wife about that because I buy two pairs at a time now, and that's expensive. All right, let's talk about Sandy and Eric. Sandy and Eric are become good friends of mine over the years, and we met through the podcast, and they're from Michigan. And the reason that's significant is because now I've got three friends from Michigan. I thought it was two. I forgot about Dirt Dogs, but I got three. So that list of people I know in Michigan. Well, actually, I got four if I include Eric. So that list of people I know up in Michigan is getting longer, which means at some point I'm gonna have to go up there and do a race and see what Michigan's all about. I would hate to know people up there that love running as much as I do and then never get up there and see what Michigan is. Michigan advertises a lot on the TV down here. They must have a big tourism. I haven't really paid much attention to the commercials. Because I never really thought I'd go to Michigan, but I guess that might change because now that I know people up there. Well, Sandy and Eric they camp. They're big RV folks, and they came through Central Virginia on one of their trips. Sandy does just about a marathon just about every weekend. I think she was doing like 7 in a row or something, and she was doing one in West Virginia, and the Marshall Marathon, and they swooped down through Virginia. And when I get to the email bag section of the show, I am going to talk about a marathon that she actually placed first for females, which was really cool, because I don't think that's never happened to her before, so I know that was different. Anyway, so they agreed to drive into the center of the universe and meet up with Monica and I, and we met up with them at a place called The Caboose, which is a little local place. It's kind of trendy at the moment. When I say trendy, it's because it's still relatively new, and lots of people go there. And I really like it a lot. You know, you can get the craft beers there. They change them whenever they kick a keg, they'll get a new one. And they say they're changing the beers up all the time. And so kind of, you can get a flight of beers. It's that kind of place. You know, fill your growler up. That's all the rage right now. There's only one hang up with this place, is that when you sit at the table, the wooden piece that is under the table is just a hair lower than other tables. So whenever I scoot my chair and I end up hitting the whole table and spilling the beer. And Eric is 6'4", and I'm sure he had the same problem because he's a lot taller than I am. I'm almost 6 feet, like 5'11 and 5'8", you know, something like that, almost 6 feet. The reason I say that is because I'm not 6 feet tall when I have shoes on, but otherwise I would be. But anyway, the Caboose is a cool place. That's a lady named Jen Inge is running the back part, and that's where my running group usually meets for coffee on Saturday mornings after we do our group run. And so Eric and Sandy agreed to meet us there. We just had an outstanding evening. Didn't just talk about running. We talked about other stuff. They're great folks. They're from the Rochester Hills area in Michigan, which from my I think it's kind of northwest of Detroit, Ann Arbor area, if I'm not mistaken. I asked some of the folks I know in Michigan about that, and I think that's what I remember them telling me. And we had a really good idea, and a really good meetup. And it was just a lot of fun. Now, you've heard me talk about Sandy before. I think she writes into some other podcasts, but I know this is her favorite. You know, she's never really told me that, but I'm pretty sure it is her favorite podcast. And we ran the Blue Ridge Marathon together a couple years ago. This is the one in Roanoke. This is the one that bills itself as the toughest road marathon in the country. And I thought it was pretty hard. There were some climbs there which were pretty straight up. As a matter of fact, when you climb one of the mountains and you get to the top, you actually see the next mountain that you're going to climb, and you know, it's pretty high. You can see it. And it's a little, that's a little depressing when we see that. But we had a great time running together. We only got split up a few times, but the point was to run, to start together, run together, and finish together. And she was great company during the marathon. And she just loves running. And she's done a couple hundreds now. And Eric is going to get into the ultra scene. And he has suggested the Indiana Trail 50, which is April 30th to May 1st. It's actually a 100-mile race, but they have a 50-miler also, and he says he's going to do that. So I've got that one on my radar, although something came up recently. I mean, for me to travel to Indiana, that's a pretty significant situation. I mean, if I drive in there is, you know, like 9 to 10 hours. I know driving to Michigan is like 10 hours, so I think Indiana's south of Michigan, so that, I don't know where it is in Indiana. So I'd have to fly, and that adds to cost, and then you get a hotel and that kind of thing. Although, you know, what's money for? You know, money's there to spend. But my buddy John King, who's a part of my Team Incognito group, which is a virtual running group, used to be a full-time running group, but it's kind of turned into a virtual running group. He had thrown out this some kind of 50K down in the Virginia Beach area, which is about 2 hours from here, and was trying to get some people interested in that. So I'm kind of conflicted at the moment. Part of me wants to wait and see how I do on March 5th, but you know, sometimes you got to plan these races out and you got to sign up in case they fill up. And I guess I'm just not quite at that point. And Eric, I think just Sandy listens to the show, and I don't think you do, but I just can't commit to that at this point. And I feel bad because I know you're going to be out there, and hopefully your training goes well for that. So great meetup with Eric and Sandy. They've bought some property to retire on up in Michigan, and within 5 to 6 years, they plan to have bought a lot of land, and they're planning to cut some trails. And that will take some time. Set up some campsites, which will take some time, and then they're going to call it the Back 40 50. And so she'll do a 50-mile race, or the both of them will. And I think that's a great number. If you have never heard of what the back 40 means, that it means like, you know, whatever property you got behind your house, that's the back 40. I think that's what that refers to. So it's a great idea. And Sandy, that'd be really cool. I definitely would come up for that, if not before, to do something up in Michigan, because I got friends up there. And Yeah, I mean, especially after just visiting with you guys, I'd hate to have several more years go by without hooking up and visiting. So that's lots of fun. I really appreciate you guys coming down this way. Let me talk about my TV for a second, only because this is funny. We bought a Polaroid brand TV some years ago. I'm not really sure what the circumstances were with us buying it. It might have been one of those impulse buys. But we had it for several years. And just the other day, it's a 32-inch, you know, HD TV. We got the HD cable or digital cable, which I really like. And then all of a sudden, the picture just went out and the top of the TV started smoking. And it was kind of bright inside, and then it kind of, I don't think it was actually on fire, but it was smoking. I mean, I unplugged it and all that, and, you know, did some research online to see what it was, and it turns out there's a class action lawsuit involved in this. Of course, I never knew about that because I don't fill out these customer cards or anything like that generally when I buy something. So now I had to go get the TV out of my garage, which I call the Dave Cave, and had to bring that in. It's the same size and it's HD as well, but you know all the configurations are different, and so you got to get used to a new TV. And I don't know if anybody else out there that listens to this show has ever had their TV blow up, but apparently what happened was it's not the picture tube. I saw a YouTube video about how to fix it, and after about 30 seconds, the whole thing was over my head. Even though the guy that was talking like he was kind of a stupid guy, and I think he might have been doing that on purpose. But there's no way I can make that repair myself. So we'll probably let it, probably just sit on it for a little while, figure out what to do. But what I think we'll probably end up doing is just going and buying another TV, because I priced them the other day, and the one, our room is only so big, so we can't really get a big one. I'd love to get a real large TV, but it would look kind of strange. It would look strange in the room. So I think we're going to go with a 40-inch, and those are about $300. All right, so we talked earlier a little bit about incrementalism. I didn't really talk about incrementalism yet, but that's how I'm increasing my mileage. And I'm going to be going up to 30 this week, so I got an increase on Saturday and Sunday. And this week was a little bit different because I had my 20th wedding anniversary on the 4th of this week, November 4th. So we kind of tied up with, we went out of town for a night and just kind of did the married thing. Had a real good evening, and I'm gonna end up talking about the place we went here at the end of the show, because that's where we ran into that this creature. I'm not really sure what he was, and then I got to talk about the bathrooms as well, because this place had very interesting bathrooms. But we'll get to that. Let's talk about a little bit about Rusty Beaver, and the reason I got to bring this up is because it's kind of funny every time. And you have to know, if you're listening to the show, I kind of come at everything from a perspective of sarcasm. It's kind of how I look at life, and I like to poke fun at myself and others. Generally, not like critical fun where I'm slamming people, or, you know, I guess the term now is hating on people. I don't really do that. I like to observe weird things and then kind of talk about them and analyze them a little bit. We have a beer festival here in the center of the universe called Off the Rails Beer Festival. And the reason it's called Off the Rails is because the town where I live has two railroad tracks that bisect the town, go straight north to south, you know, freight trains, Amtrak, and stuff like that. And the Hanover, there's a place in Nashville called the Hanover Arts and Activity Center, which is kind of a community center. They have several rooms in the back where people give music lessons. There's different classes there. There's a daycare some kind of Montessori preschool in the basement. And I was on the board there for 6 years. So I'm very familiar with the stuff it's called the HAAC, HAAC. And I was on the board there, so I got really familiar with everything that the HAAC does. And 2 years ago, one of the guys on the board, George, had suggested doing a beer festival because he knows they raise a lot of money. And they do. We raised, I think the first year it was $40,000 was raised, and then last year was comparable to that. Well, the first year, and of course I volunteer, and the first year I volunteered at a local brewery that's just one county to the north of us in Caroline County. It's called the Rusty Beaver Brewery. And so if you take the name Beaver and you think of all the different things that could be, And this is, you know, a G-rated podcast for the most part. I cuss every now and then. I guess that makes it PG. I think if I said beaver and if people out there knew what I was talking about and it's not the animal, I think that's PG, but I'm not sure. Anyway, so my wife and I were working the Rusty Beaver beer tent. So we had two taps hooked into two kegs, and people would come and there was all, I guess there was about 12 different breweries there. So we were working the Rusty Beaver. And let me see, and delivery's everything when you get to telling jokes. So let me see if I can do the delivery right. So this older couple, it's a couple hours into the festival, and this older couple, I'd say maybe in their 50s, came up to our tent. And one of the people that was with us behind the taps was one of the owners of the brewery. And so the people come up as a male and a female, and they say, hey, you know, we want to try this. And the owner of the brewery asked the guy, well, have you ever had any Rusty Beaver? And he looks at the woman that's with him, and then he looks back at us, and he's like, yeah, I've had some Rusty Beaver. Well, maybe you had to be there, but I thought it was pretty funny. So that's November 14th. That is the afternoon of after the Richmond Marathon. And usually what we do over the last several years, we've always had a marathon party for all our close friends here in town that run any of their Richmond 8K half marathon or full marathon events. Everybody comes, brings some food, wears their medal, and we have lots of chairs out so people can sit so they don't have to stand. But the beer festival is on the same day this year, and the reason it was switched is because the beer festival was scheduled for end of September, and we had these hellacious rainstorms. And it was just too, the front lawn of the hack would have just been too wet because it's right there on the tracks, and it's just this big front lawn area in front of the hack, which was actually a hospital during the Civil War and then a church before that. And so the beer festival was moved to November 14th, and that's the same day as the Richmond Marathon, and I'm doing the half, so we're not going to have our marathon party that year. But we'll be at the beer festival, and maybe we'll get to work Rusty Beaver thing again and see how many jokes come up. It's pretty funny, actually. But it might have been one of those things where he had to be there because it was just the way the guy looked at his girlfriend and then looked back at us. And I don't really think that she even picked up on what he was talking about. It was just funny. All right, moving on. We got more stuff in the stack of stuff here. Ultra Finishers Podcast. This is a guy, Scott Johnson does this podcast. And all you got to do is just go to your favorite search engine and Google or Yahoo or Bing or whatever, and put in Ultra Finishers Podcast. And what it is, Scott interviews people who have done, not necessarily the first ultra, but who have done an ultra and they're not elite runners. So the content is not from someone who knocks out a 7 hour or less 50-mile race. It's somebody who struggles. Maybe it's the first one, maybe it's not, maybe they've had some DNFs, and it's just really good perspective, and I've started listening to it, and I catch just about every episode. I think he puts it out every week. I can't remember the actual frequency, but it's on iTunes as well. You can search it in the iTunes store, just like you can, if you don't get this podcast through iTunes, you can just go to the iTunes store and search Running in the Center of the Universe, and it'll come up, but you're not going to get iTunes only holds so many episodes. You have to go to ashlanddave.podbean.com if you want to get older stuff, older archive stuff. It's all on the right side of the screen, and you can get older episodes there. At least I think I got most of them on there. I recommend that. Scott Johnson is an information technology guy, and he also has another podcast called The Computer Tutor where he figures out different things to do on the internet and computing and stuff, which I'm a little bit of a geek when it comes to some stuff, but I'm not a pocket protector geek. I'm just like a, I don't know. Maybe I am a little bit of a computer geek, but he puts things in easy terminology to understand. So, I'm not sure if he links both podcasts together on each one. So check out The Computer Tutor. And also check out Ultra Finishers Podcast, and Scott Johnson runs both of those, and he's a listener of this show, and I've really enjoyed going back and forth with him over the last couple of years. I want to talk about a book. This is, it's called, I can't remember the name of it, my cousin wrote it. It's called Against the Odds. I can't believe I forgot about this. I was talking about it with Sandy, and the reason I bring this up in the podcast is because I'm going to plug the book again. It's my cousin wrote it, and it's called Against the Odds, The Adventures of a Man in His 60s Competing in Six of the World's Toughest Triathlons Across Six Continents. It came out in 2013. His name is John Pendergrass. Brett Favre did the foreword. And apparently Brett knows everybody down in Hattiesburg, which is where my cousin's from, and which is really close to Laurel, Mississippi, which is where the 50-miler is in March. So this is, I'm just going to read a little synopsis, and then I'll tell you why I brought it up. It's completing a triathlon at any age is a major achievement. Finishing an Ironman triathlon in your 60s is nothing short of inspirational. This is a true account of John Pendergrass's impossible goal of completing six Ironman triathlons on six continents, all while in his 60s. Against the Odds will shatter your preconceptions of what a man in his golden years can accomplish. For most people, their 60s are a time to slow down, but not for Pendergrass. So check that out. You can get it on, just all you got to do is Google Against the Odds, John Pendergrass, and you will find that. And Sandy, I just mailed it today. I put it in the mail. I'm going to lend Sandy my copy. I mailed it to her for $2.13 or whatever it cost. And she's going to read it and send it back whenever you're done, Sandy. That'd be great. So y'all check that out, because I'll be talking more about him in the spring after I go down there and we start getting my plans together for everything involving the Ultra in March, and I'll be talking more about him. We do a family reunion every year down in, everything's in Mississippi on my mom's side. Everybody on my dad's side is kind of international. New York City, and then international on my dad's side. But on my mom's side, everybody's from the Deep South. And we go down there every year for a family reunion. Well, it's held every year. We generally go every other year because it takes 2 days to drive down there and traveling. It's just like a 10-hour day of traveling to get there on a plane. It's almost worth driving. But we do a running group every year that I'm there. There's a Saturday morning running group, and John is part of that, and so we always get to catch up on him. He's, I think he's retired now. I'm not sure if he still is, but he's a medical doctor. He's an ophthalmologist, and he's also a Vietnam veteran. He flew a bunch of missions over Vietnam. All right, phone a friend. Now, I think this is a little bit of, I think I wrote this note down when I was feeling a little feisty. If you listen to the last show, you'll remember that I talked about this article that Scott Harris wrote about how he didn't think that people who ran the marathon slow should even really be out there. They're not really marathoners, and he seemed to think that only someone who runs it, you know, what, 2.5 hours or 3 hours or whatever, they're the true marathoners. And I differ with him on that, and some of that came out in the last show. Well, I do know that I had an idea for my Ultra coming up in March, and it's called Phone a Friend. And I think what I'm going to do is there might be a time where I call somebody that I know is a runner, and if they answer, I'm going to talk to them for about 30 minutes to get me through, you know, a couple miles. So if I've got your number, and doesn't matter where you live in the country, okay, I've got, and you can send me your number if you want at ashlanddave@gmail.com. I promise I won't call you unnecessarily, but I'm going to use, if I remember to do this, and I'm not really sure how I came up with this idea, but mainly just to piss this guy off, you know. Not only am I not going to do it on my own and I'm going to run it slow, but I'm going to lean on other people to help me. How about that, Steve? All right, let's talk about Marathon Maniacs, and then we're going to be getting into the email bag section of the show. Because that's going to take a little bit too, and there's always new. Well, no, I got one more thing. I'll talk about my dinner date for my anniversary. Marathon Maniacs. I got in that several years ago when I did. I did the minimum level to get in. I did 3 marathons in 3 months, and that's the minimum. That, and it's the bronze level. And then I think if you do 2 in 2 weeks, it's you get in or whatever. And you know, there's people that do all kinds of crazy stuff, and I got in. Tom Grant, Ashland Tom, he got in Marathon Maniacs. I thought it'd be pretty cool, and so I went ahead and did the minimum and got in. And then, you know, you get a shirt. You can spend all kinds of money at their store, and they have a place where you can kind of put your races in a spreadsheet. And I was utilizing that, and I really liked it because other maniacs can see. You can see what other marathon maniacs are going to be at a marathon, and you can meet up. And I have done that. And if you wear the Marathon Maniac shirt, you're going to know, people are going to they're going to talk to you anyway because they know you're a maniac. And it's a good way to meet people if you're at a race where you don't know anyone, if you wear your maniac shirt. And I know my friend Snuggy Bear does that. Well, anyway, they changed their website format, and I was not able to get into it anymore. I hadn't paid my dues since 2012, and it's not, I think it's $10 or $15. It wasn't even anything at all. But after I didn't pay it, I realized I was still able to access the site. So, you know, what do you do when you can still access the site and nobody's asking you for money? Well, you continue to access the site. So I was still putting my races on there. And I've done 28 marathons, so you can't just remember them all. You gotta have them in the list. And you can put comments, you can put your finishing time. You know, it's just a spreadsheet. Well, I realized recently I was I wanted to look up a race that I did and see what my time was. And I'm not even sure which one it was, and I realized I could not get on the site. So I checked with Snuggy Bear to see if he could get on the site and then pull up my races and, you know, do some screenshots or something, and then I could get the data that way, and then I would just do a regular spreadsheet and keep the stuff on my own computer, which I'm going to do anyway. But he was not able to do that either. So I emailed one of the directors or the guys that run Marathon Maniacs, a guy named Chris, and he said, yeah, we changed our format. You have to get your dues current in order to access the site to get to your races. So I went ahead and paid the $15, got myself current to get on to the spreadsheet of my races so I could look at them. And would you believe that the format is not the same way it was before, and I don't even like the format, where you have to hover over the comments section to see the comments. You can't just see them by themselves when you're looking at the screen, which is what I remembered from the old format. So I was a little disappointed. So what I'm going to do is just recopy everything. It's only 28 races, and I'm going to recopy everything. So I had to pay $15 just to look at my marathons. And I'm not against the Marathon Maniacs. It's just that I don't necessarily pick races that for maniac reunions or anything like that. Because then people want you to run with them, and sometimes I like to have just my own misery during a marathon. I don't want to feel obligated, or other people feel obligated they need to stay with me. I'm not really sure where I'm going with that, so I'm just going to move on. Talk about smoking. Okay. Talk about my dinner date out. I was married in 1995. I've been fortunate to just celebrate my 20th anniversary. And it was pretty spectacular to make it that long. Not that we've had any, you know, like big troubles or anything, but, you know, every marriage has its ups and downs, and we've had more ups than downs. We have a wonderful daughter out of the whole thing, and, you know, couldn't be happier, really. It's, you know, we're very fortunate people. Don't really have huge problems. You know, everybody's got problems, but, you know, I deal with people that have problems with my job, and my problems are nothing compared to other people's problems. So I really don't think I have problems. You know, I do personally, and, you know, everybody does, but they're kind of small-scale stuff. Anyway, probably too much information on that, because you really don't need to hear about all that. But my wife set up a real nice dinner out. And we stayed down in the city of Richmond. We live just about 12 to 15 miles north of Richmond. So we kind of call it going into the city. And since it's so close, you can get down there pretty quick. But we were going to get a hotel just so, because we're going to go out and have drinks. And we didn't want to have to worry about driving or anything. And we did the Uber thing, and which first time doing it, I thought it was pretty cool. I'll talk about that in a second. But we went to a place called La Possum. And yeah, like possum, like the possums you hit, roadkill. And it wasn't really a French restaurant. It was just a kind of a trendy place. It was in an area of Richmond called Oregon Hill that is overlooks the James River. It's on the north side. Oregon Hill's on the north side of the James River, which kind of goes from east west to east through the city. Has some great running trails down there, by the way, right in the city. Some great trails down by the James River. And the reason we celebrated a night early is because my wife had to go out of town. So we, the actual evening of our anniversary, which was November 4th. So November 3rd, we went out and we went to this place. We got there early, had drinks at the bar. It was a real, real small bar, and I really liked the way it looked inside. It was a really nifty place. And I got to tell you about the host, and this is where Buffalo Bill comes in and Jim Morrison. When we walked in the front of this place, there was this tall, blonde-headed creature wearing all black that was the, I'm not even going to call them, I think it's a maitre d', I'm not going to call him that because, maybe he was, I don't know, but it was the host, the person that seats you, you know, checks your reservation, that we had a reservation. And this person was a mix between Buffalo Bill from Silence of the Lambs and Jim Morrison from The Doors, like a blonde. He had the jaw of Jim Morrison, like that. And the reason I know that is because I'm a Doors fan, so I, you know, got The Doors stuff, so I know what Jim Morrison looks like, and I, you know, see images of him, and you know, to listen to the music, and I got this book that I look. Anyway, maybe that was too much information, but I'm very familiar with his features, his facial features, because his Jim Morrison's whole image is the way he looks. So that's one of his selling points back then. But this guy looked also like Buffalo Bill from that clip of Silence of the Lambs that I played at the beginning of the podcast, and it was just really creepy. And I mean, the person was nice, but it was just it's immediately what I thought, and I thought, this is really weird. We're in a weird section of Richmond, Oregon Hill. It's kind of a, back in the day, it was kind of a working class neighborhood. It's kind of being renovated block by block. It's near Virginia Commonwealth University. And on a side note, when I was a kid, I used to ride a skateboard ramp in Oregon Hill, and that place was crazy. I mean, that's the kind of place that had street fights. That's just the kind of neighborhood that it was. Not that we hung out there for the street fights, but we knew that there was a half-pipe skate ramp behind one of the houses that wasn't really on anybody's property, and nobody ever told us we couldn't skate on it, so we used that. So that's how I knew about Oregon Hill. All right, so we had a real night. We had several drinks at the bar. Had a real nice dinner, and of course, you know, at some point, you got to go to the bathroom. So this place had a gender-neutral bathroom, and if I can figure out how to put a picture on the website, I'll post it. It had a men's sign, it had a female sign, and then it had one of each, meaning it was a half, like a transgendered, like half of the figure was the male, and then half was the female with the skirt or dress, and then it had a wheelchair person. So we're trying to. The reason I bring this up is because it's funny. So apparently the wheelchair is a separate gender. So you got male, female, you got transgendered, and this part of Richmond was really, you know, this kind of bathroom really fit in to where we were. I mean, I've got a liberal side to me that, I mean, it's a real small part, but I'm willing to, you know, I'm willing to go to these weird places with my wife because she likes them. You know, normally I'd kind of very conservative, but. So apparently the people that run this place think the wheelchair is a whole separate gender, and I just thought that was really weird because I've never seen anything like that. And then when you go in the bathroom, and there was two of these, it was clowns, portraits of clowns in the restroom. And Monica didn't like that at all because neither one of us like clowns. I don't really like clowns at all. In fact, I get really creeped out. I never liked those big stuffed animals too that you see at theme parks. You know, anybody that wants to go hug on a bunch of kids is a perv. I mean, I've always thought people in those suits are perverted because they like hugging on kids, and clowns are really weird too. And so they had all these portraits of clowns in the restroom, and I thought that was really weird. So getting back to the anniversary thing, kind of rambling. That's what the podcast is all about sometimes. We're going to do a larger trip this summer during our 20th anniversary year. We can't do it now because our child's in school, so that's why we just went away for the night. And would you believe that we were right down by the Virginia Capitol in the city of Richmond, and we kind of, after we ate breakfast the next morning, we had a really late checkout. We kind of did an impulsive walking tour of the state capitol. It was a guided tour. And all the years I've lived in Virginia, all my adult life, and we moved here permanently in, I guess, 78, but before that we lived, I lived here in kindergarten, first and second grade, so that would have been, gosh, 74, 75, because I remember we lived in Roanoke, Virginia for the bicentennial when I was, that was 76, 07. Anyway, I'd never been to the Virginia Capitol, finally got that done, so I can check that off. And so we did the Uber, and we did the Uber to get around. We ran around a little bit, had some fun, and Uber was very clean. The first vehicle was a Lexus, and the second vehicle was a Highlander, and they were there when they said they were going to be there. It was clean, nothing weird, nothing creepy. And I think it's just an ingenious idea, whoever came up with that. So, we're at almost 40 minutes into the show, and I need to get to the email bag section of the show. So you checked in this week. We've got a couple new listeners. All right, let me start with Don. And he checks in from Brookville, Indiana, so now I know somebody up there. And he's Marathon Maniac 5644. I'm 1319 for any of you maniacs out there. He writes, I really liked the last episode. I really don't understand why it bothers some people. What time other people finish in. Like you say, what should the cutoff be? 2:30, 3:30? This is for the marathon. What about people who are battling weight loss, other physical challenges? Should they not be able to participate? I think it's great that so many people want to challenge themselves and accomplish what to many seems impossible. So then Don writes, and he's got a good story, and I'll paraphrase this. So Don was going to run Chicago this year. He said he entered the lottery, was accepted, paid his $185, trained all summer, skipped some of the smaller races around because of the cost. Just under 2 weeks before the race, he had to have an emergency appendectomy, and he missed the race. He was really bummed about missing it, but the time off has helped reignite his passion for running. He's looking forward to running his next marathon in January or February. And he says, sometimes we need a setback to help us move forward. Anyway, thanks for the podcast. I really enjoy it. And Don, that is the reason I do the show. Your email right there. I've said that before when I hear from other people, and I really do appreciate hearing from you. I started the podcast for kind of some accountability for myself, and it's really opened up a whole new world of interacting with people online and then also in person as well, who have similar interests, and sounds like you're similar to me. I don't know where Brookville, Indiana is. I have to look that up. So thanks for listening to the show. Welcome as a new listener, and hopefully you come back. All right, I heard from Marisa out of Ann Arbor, Michigan, and we will come back to her. We will definitely come back to her. Okay, Sandy. Okay, here's the Sandy is she won the women's division of a marathon called the Great Allegheny Passage Marathon in Frostburg, Maryland, and this is the one. Gosh, I can't remember if she ran this. No, she ran this before she came and saw me and Monica in the center of the universe. And she wasn't even sure that, I'm trying to remember what she was telling me. She was running it. It was a small race. And she was, like at the turnaround or something, somebody told her she was first woman. She couldn't believe it. And she kept on going and she ended up winning it. And that's got to be a little feather in your cap there, Sandy. I mean, I'm not trying to dog you or anything, but if you're like me, you'd be hard-pressed to ever win for your gender, I guess, in a race. I hope that's not offensive. I don't think it is. I mean, I know you well by now. But you told me you were surprised that you'd won, so I think it's okay to say that. She went on to do the Marshall Marathon, and I'm going to send her the book. And very cool for checking in. Sandy, appreciate it, as always. Hope you guys had a safe trip back. All right, this is the Humble Pie email. It's to Adam. Here it is. And, all right, let's go back to the last show. I kind of dogged on, I didn't mention him by name, but I kind of dogged on the listener that was a whiner. And I've since been corrected, and I'm going to eat some humble pie and prepare to listen, because I'm going to eat some humble pie here. So here it goes. So Adam, he hails out of, I think he's, I'm trying to do this on my device here, and I'm having a hard time. He's out of, let's see, I think it's Minnesota. And he works similar work as that I do. And he says, "Hi, David. I've been meaning to write." I can't believe I'm going to read this. "I've been meaning to write to you for some time. I always listen to the podcast when I'm running. Then life happens when I get home, and it gets pushed off. I missed the stand-up and be counted for your 200th episode. However, I did get a mention as the infamous one bad email you have gotten in your history of podcasting. That made me laugh. I missed getting in on that because I was actually joining your ranks." And he talked about what he's doing for a living. But he says, "I'm still running, still listening." He's never stopped. He's running the Indianapolis Monumental Marathon. I guess that's this weekend. And if I remember, he says, "I'll send a race report if I can." And Okay, here it goes. I just have to say, I thought calling me a whiner in the latest episode was a little harsh. I sent you one email that says you shouldn't tell people to write to you if you weren't going to respond. Then you replied and explained that sometimes emails get filtered out of spam and you never received my initial email. That was all it took. I was good from there, and I've even sent you several emails since, although it's been a long time. I also never stopped listening. I've been listening for years now. Just clarifying all that in the last paragraph. I'm not mad. I'll continue to listen because I like your show and agree with many of your rants, but it's a little hard to have to hear yourself called a whiner without responding when that was certainly never the intent of that one email years ago. So he says, goes on to say, I know they say you never get a second chance to make a first impression, but this email is an attempt at that. Since we're both fellow middle of the Packers, I just want to say you're good in my book. Hope you can forgive me for my one offensive email from so many years ago. I'll try to write more frequently so you can remember me. Thanks for the great content. Stay safe, Adam. So here's the humble pie. Adam is the one that I made fun of, and I shouldn't have ever done that. I know a lot more about him now. I kind of omitted some of the stuff from his email, and we have a lot more in common than not. And this might be a good time to play this little clip that I found on the internet.
I was ruined. It's kind of stuck in my throat there, stuck in my throat.
Ralph, look.
I was ruined. Ralph.
All right, let's stop that. All right, that was Fonzie. From Happy Days, and if you don't know what Happy Days is, then you need to Google Happy Days. So there it is, Adam. I think you get where I'm coming from. And many of y'all know what I do for a living, and I'm not really ready to talk about that freely. I will in about 3.5 years. But he kind of let me have it a little bit, and I deserved it. So the humble pie has been served cold. It's been eaten and digested, and that meal's over, and me and Adam are friends again, and it's just really humbling, because that's the whole reason for the podcast, is to connect with people and try to encourage them. I'm not a negative person, but I think I was there, and Adam, I know you forgive me, and I appreciate that a whole lot. You were asking for forgiveness, but it's really all on me, and I think it's great that you wrote back in. It's good to hear from you. And again, humble pie has been consumed, and it's all deserved, that's for sure. I heard from Scott Johnson out of the Ultra Finishers podcast, and this was kind of a solicited email. He is going to be doing an ultra this weekend, or maybe this past weekend. He's driving to do a 24-hour race, and I'm hoping we'll get to hear a race report from that, Scott. I know you probably have it on your website. His goal is 50 miles. He's going to reevaluate because it's a 24-hour race. If he can do 100K, it's a possibility, he said. So, Scott, I wish you the best, man. That's tough. I mean, I really know that, man. Gosh, I'm with you, brother. I got a couple emails from Thomas Mueller out of the Master Competitor blog. You can check out his blog at search Master Competitor blog. And he had some comments to say about the slow runners. He put a video on YouTube. You can search most efficient running technique, which he said has 350,000 views. And he said a lot of the comments posted are good, but half of them are, quote, haters. He says, call me names, ridicule me because I'm slow. One guy posted, my feet don't even leave the ground enough to be a runner. If you look at my marathon stats, if you look at overall marathon stats, the people that run under 3 hours are a small, very small fraction. He says he respects fast runners, but they're not better or more valued than slower runners. And he's about getting everyone to the finish line. He's wrote a book called Mind Over Diet, which I'd encourage you to check out. And as I was doing the show, I sent him a note. He says, Dave, you have one of the best podcasts. I listen to so many of them, but when you update, I get happy. Save yours for a special occasion. And Thomas, that's why I do the show. You don't know how much that means to me. He's out of North Carolina. And matter of fact, I came very close to meeting Thomas several years ago when I did the Charlotte Ultra. And when I remember when I saw pictures from the race, he was in some of them. And I remember seeing him on the course because he's running with another guy that's kind of a throwback that does a bunch of ultras but doesn't really post anything online. He's kind of a one of those that just kind of keeps to himself, I guess. I don't know him. I forgot Thomas Woody. I think he just kind of does ultras for the joy of it and doesn't really, you know, have the online presence. But it's always good to hear from you. And as always, you know, I can't always get back to you right away. But sounds like you're doing a little bit better. And hopefully you continue to be out there and do stuff. All right, let's look at the last email here. This is from Marisa. Yeah, she's out of Ann Arbor, Michigan, which is what they call A2 up there. And this is a unique story because I actually met Marisa back in... We've exchanged some messages, and I think we determined it was 1990 at Purdue, which is in West Lafayette, Indiana. Yeah, I think it's Indiana, not Illinois. I have to look that up. Pretty sure it's Indiana. When I was in college, I was in a fraternity, and Purdue had a large chapter, so we did a big road trip up there. I think it was 3 carloads of guys. We made quite a splash up there at that chapter. In exchanging some messages with Marisa, I've started to remember some of the stuff that we did up there, and I remember meeting her. She was a little sister in the fraternity that we were visiting, and very nice. Everybody up there was very nice. We got into a little bit of a conflict. Some of the guys that we came up with got into a little bit of a conflict with some of the brothers at that fraternity at the chapter, and then I remember we went out, and some of the people I was with got into a little bit of a conflict at one of the local bars where we end up having to, we had to pay some money because one of the guys I was with was trying to steal a paddle off the wall. So we ended up having to pay for that. And it's such a long story. I'm remembering more and more from that trip up there. So it turns out Marisa's a runner. She lives in, I think she grew up in Ann Arbor. I'm not absolutely certain. But she's a marathoner. We've reconnected through running some other interests, and it's just, you know, interested in running and stuff. And it's just really cool because she's done 16, 17 marathons, she said, married, got a couple kids, been married a long time, still running, wants to do another marathon soon. It's taken a little bit of some time off. But runs often, and I just think it's just really cool that she found the podcast, albeit with a little encouragement. But nevertheless, it's great to reconnect with, and it's just amazing. So you look back, you say you met somebody back in the early 90s, and then here it is 2015, and you've made a reconnection, and it turns out, you know, people just live normal lives, same as you, and, you know, everybody just really just wants to be happy, and it's just kind of funny how things work out. So never knew I'd be so memorable. I'm sure she thinks she'd be so memorable, but I definitely remember meeting her up there because she was one of the nicer folks that we met when a bunch of Southerners came up, traveled to the Midwest, and kind of invaded it was a larger chapter. Purdue is a big school. I don't think of it at that time, I don't think I'd ever done a road trip to a school as large as that. We did another road trip to Clemson, which I've never compared the students. And the school I went to had just under 10,000, and I knew Purdue was multiple tens of thousands. Anyway, it's a long story, and it's really cool to reconnect that way. So, Marisa, go for that marathon if you're thinking about it. And it looks like, sounds like you have family support, which is so important for distance running. And it sounds like you got a good running group, too. So I wish you all the best, and stay in touch, as I know you will. And so that's the blast from the past that was mentioned earlier in the show. And thanks for listening to the podcast. That's she did a little bit of a binge listening, which is very flattering to me. You know, whenever I remember, I got an email from a guy some years ago that wanted to get all the episodes on a CD, and so I obliged. I burned all the episodes to, I think, 2 CDs, and mailed it to him in the mail, and I just thought, gosh, somebody likes to listen to me repeatedly, and that's flattering. That really strokes my ego. I mean, I'm just such an ordinary nobody, middle of the pack, nothing, that just goes out and runs, and likes to share some of the experiences. So it's really super flattering when somebody likes to listen to that. So I'll keep doing it. And like I said earlier, I'm kind of super motivated right now to really get to the starting line of this 50-miler. So the podcast will be coming out more often. And if you're a regular listener, you've noticed that there was 2 months with nothing, and then there's 2 weeks with two. So you know that's different. So thanks for coming back. This is Ashlyn Dave. One more thing. I need to throw out a congratulations to Neil Richard for completing the 100K of at Old Creek back on October 10th. We exchanged some emails, and I know he had it was a beating. He took a beating up there, but he's a beast. And this is the guy that he refuses to give up. And there's the dryer. So it looks like it's time to fold laundry. So it's perfect timing for the end of the show. Anyway, well done, Richard. Neil, always good to talk to you. And I remember I looked up your site to see how you'd done, and he had a really cool race report. So this is Ashlyn Dave, and I'm running in the center of the universe, Ashlyn, Virginia, reminding you to run to the finish, keep on running. Don't forget to hug your kids, and y'all have a good week.